start from the beginning of the seventh parak on Mem Hamad Aleph. So this parak is all about the halachas of benching. So the Mishnah starts out and says, Shlosha she'achlu ka'achas chayovin lezamin. If three people are dining together, so they have to bench with a zimun. So the Mishnah explains, Achal demai u'maiser rishon she'not letrumaso, maiser sheni v'hekdesh she'niftu, v'hashamash she'achal kezayis v'hakusi mezamin ala. The Mishnah lists off a bunch of cases that are still chayav in zimun, and we'll see in the Gemara why one might have thought these cases are not chayav. But basically, if you eat demai, right, demai is produce where there's a suffix. You're not sure if trumos and maisros were separated from it. Maiser rishon, which is what we call maiser, in other words, the one-tenth of your produce that you typically give to the levy. So if you already separated your truma from that, and now you're giving it to the levy, or maiser sheni or hektish. Maiser sheni are the coins that you have to bring up to Yerushalayim to redeem, let's say, any fruit that you have that has certain kedusha, or hektish just means an item that you designated to the Beis HaMikdash. If you subsequently redeem that food item and now you're eating it, or if you, let's say, for example, you have a waiter, but the waiter actually participated and joined in your meal and ate at least a kezias, or you have a kusi. Now, this Mishnah, again, the Gemara's going to talk about this later on, is assuming that a kusi has the status of a Jew. We actually, paskin lahalacha, that kusim are not really Jewish. We assume that their conversion was not a valid conversion, but this Mishnah is assuming that it was. So in all of these cases, the Mishnah says that you are allowed to make a zimun on these either food items or people or scenarios. However, achal tevel u'maiser rishon shelo nit latrumaso, u'maiser sheni v'hekte shelo niftu, v'hashamash she'achal pachos mikazayis v'hanachri ein mezamin alav. And all the corollary cases, in other words, if you had, let's say, Meister Rishon that was not, where Truma was not separated, or you had Meister Shin or Hektish that were not redeemed, or you had, or let's say the waiter had less than a kezias of food, or you had a non-Jew participating, in all of those cases you cannot form a Zima.
Then the Mishnah, no, yeah. Non-kosher food.
Well, assuming that you're eating the non-kosher food, be'isser. There is a shiloh in the Mishnah Berurah, but let's say you have three people eating together, and two are eating fleishiks and one's eating dairy, or vice versa. So that is a shiloh. So we assume that in that case, the person eating dairy should lead the zimun, because in theory, he could take from the person eating meat if he just washes out his mouth, but the person eating fleishiks can't do
so,
the other way around.
So three people are eating, someone and three falls into this other category, sitting at the same table.
Into which category? And the ones where they can form a zimun.
Things like that.
Okay, and the first guy. Yeah.
So you can't bench while they're sitting at the table as a zimun?
What do you mean? In other words, again, the Mishnah is dividing into two categories. The first category, the first set of cases in the Mishnah are cases where you are allowed to have a zimun, and the second half are cases where you're not. So meaning, there could be more than three people, obviously. So if, let's say you have, according to the Mishnah, you have a kusi, or you have people eating, I don't know, hektish that was redeemed, so that's fine. Then you could be mezamin on that. But if you have stuff that's hektish that wasn't redeemed, or maestro training that wasn't redeemed, or all those cases, so then even if you have 20 people there, you can't make a zimun on that stuff. Okay, then the Mishnah says, Nashim va'avadim uktanim.
Everybody's eating the same food?
Well, again, yeah. In other words, if you're all part of the same group, so if you're eating foods that are not subject to Zimun, then
everyone. What if three of the people?
If three of the people are eating regular, kosher, normal food, so then yeah, they can make their own Zimun, presumably, yeah. Okay, then the Mishnah says, Nashim v'avadim uktanim ein mezamin alehen. So women, slaves, and ktanim cannot be mezamin. The Gemara is going to clarify that statement. We'll see more about that in a little bit. Then the Mishnah asks, ad kama mezamin, how much food do you need to eat in order to warrant making a zimun? So it's a machlokas, either ad kezayis, but Rabbi Huda omer, ad kebetas. Machlokas in the Mishnah, how much food you need to eat in order to be chayav in a zimun. So the Gemara wants to know, menahani mile, how do we know that you need three people in order to make a zimun? So Amar Rav Asi, the Amar Kra, Gadlu la Hashem iti, unaroma ma shemo yachdav. The word Gadlu is in plural, and it says iti. So you, in the plural, should praise Hashem with me, which implies that we're dealing with three people. Rabbi Yavo, Amar Mehancha, ki shem Hashem ekra, havu go de lilavino. The same idea, havu is in the plural, and someone is talking about praising Hashem, which again implies that we're dealing with three people. Amar Rav Chanan bar Abba, minayin laone amein shelo yagbia kolo yosrev and hamivarech. From where do we know that a person who responds amein should not raise his voice louder than the one who makes the bracha? Shene'emar, gadlu lahashem iti unarom moshe yachta. So the Gemara is picking up on the word iti, that it should be on the same level. Your voice should not be any higher than the one reciting the bracha. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, minayin she'en ha-misargim rashay la-hagbiya kolo yosrim en ha-korev. We know that in the times of the Gemara, it was very common to have a mitargim, to have a person who would translate the psukim into Aramaic, because that was the language that everybody spoke. So usually what happened was, the guy who was doing Kriyas HaTorah would pause after each pasuk to let the mitargim translate. translate. But the Gemara says, how do we know that the Metargim should not raise his voice more than the person doing Kriyas HaTorah? Shenemar, it says in this past week's parasha, it says, Moshe yedaber v'ha Elokim ya'anenu v'kol. Moshe would speak and Hashem would respond in a voice. So the Gemara says, She'in tamud lomar b'kol. U'mat tamud lomar b'kol. What is the word b'kol doing there? It seems superfluous. The Gemara says it means, b'kol usha Moshe. Hashem only spoke in the same tone, in the same decibel level, so to speak, as Moshe Rabbeinu did.
Yeah. We hold that answering Amen is supposed to be lower than the person saying it.
Not necessarily lower, but just not louder. That's what the Gemara says. Yeah. In other words, when you respond, in other words, you're not supposed to shout Amen at the top of your lungs. You're supposed to say Amen in a way that you can hear it, in a way that it's not gonna, you know, let's say, interfere or distract other people who are answering to the bracha. Also, that's also a general problem. Whenever you're in shul, let's say you're answering Amen, you're saying Yehi Shmei Rabba. So we know from Gemara's earlier that you're supposed to say it loudly, but you're not supposed to say it in such a way where like people are gonna like make fun of you or ridicule you. You're supposed to say it in a normal tone of voice.
You're supposed to say it loudly, reminding people around you they're supposed to say it also.
That's also true. That's a separate one. Yeah. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Tanya Nami Hachi Ena Mesargim Rashai LaHagbia Kolo Yosrim and Akore." So again, the Mesargim is not supposed to raise his voice more than the person doing the Kriyas HaTorah. However, the Im'iev Sharla Mesargim LaHagbia Kolo Keneged Akore. Let's say the Mesargim just can't muster up the strength to you know to speak on the same level as the Kore. So then Yemayich Akore Kolo V'Yekor. Then the one doing the Kriyas HaTorah should lower his voice so that this way it's on par with the Mesargim. Okay. The Gemara says, "Itmar Shnayim She'achlu Ka'akas." Let's say you only have two people who are eating together, so can they have the zimun? So the Gemara says the machlokes. Pligei Rav Rabbi Yochanan, chad amar imratu lezamin mezamin, v'chad amar imratu lezamin im mezamin. So machlokes in the Gemara, whether two people can also form a zimun. So the Gemara explains, Tanan, our Mishnah told us, shlosha she'achlu ka'achas chayovin lezamin, shlosha in shnayim lo. It sounds pretty explicit from our Mishnah that you need three people to make a zimun. How could anyone suggest that two people is sufficient? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof. Hasam chova hacharishos. One could argue that three people who dine together, you have an obligation to make a zimun. Maybe two people, it's a rishus. If you want to make a zimun, you're allowed to. So then the Gemara says, Tashma, Shlosha she'achlu ka'achas chayovin lezamin, ve'ein rasha'in lechalik. This is the Gemara later on, right, where on Daf Nun, where the Gemara says that if three people are eating together, so not only are they chayiv in zimun, like our Mishnah said, but they're not allowed to break up the zimun. They have to make a zimun together. In other words, they can't go off and bench on their own. So the Gemara says, once again, Shlosha in shnayim lo. It sounds like that obligation for the three people to stick together and make a zimun is only true for three people and not for two people. So how can anyone suggest that two people are chayiv in a zimun? So once again, the Gemara says no. Shaini hasam dekavu lehu bechova meikara. One could argue that even though it's true that maybe three people is an obligation, but two people, as we said before, is a rishus. But these people would rather bench in a way where it's a chiyuv, as opposed to breaking off and have two people benching in a way which is a rishus, which is considered a lower level form of a zima. Okay. Then the Gemara says tashma hashamash shahayim mishame shalashnayim hareze ochel imahem. So let's say a person's a waiter and he's serving food to two people. So even if the two people don't give him permission to sit down and eat, he should sit down and eat with them anyway in order to make them chayiv in a zimun. But if he's serving three people, then he's only allowed to dine with them if given permission. So what do you see explicitly from this Gemara? You see that when two people are eating, that's not enough for a zimun, because if it was, then the shamash, then the waiter should have needed to ask for rishus also in order to sit down and bench. The fact that the fact that he's allowed to sit down and eat without permission implies that that only three is what creates a zimun and not two. So the Gemara says no. The same answer we keep on saying. Shiny hasam de nechaluhu de mikvaluhu bechova. Once again, because these people want to bench or want to make a zimun in a way which is obligatory, but it doesn't necessarily mean that two people can't form a zimun. They could argue that a two person zimun is simply a rishus, like we keep on suggesting. Okay, then the Gemara says again, Tashma nashim mizamnos liatzman va'avadim mizamnim liatzman. So women can make their own independent zimun, and avadim can make their own independent zimun. However, nashim va'avadim uktanim imratzu lezamin imezamin. If they want to make a zimun together, as we'll see in the Gemara in a second, why this is an issue, the Gemara says that is a problem. So the Gemara says, well, hang on one second. V'hameya nashe kitre gavri damyan. 100 women are no worse or no different than 2 men. This is in terms of, let's say, for example, forming a minyan, right? We know that for a minyan, you need to have 10 men who are over bar mitzvah. So you're having 1,000 women, having 100 women in a room is not going to help you make a minyan. So the Gemara Gemara says, and yet, nonetheless, v'katani nashim mezamnus liatzman va'avadim mezamnin liatzman. If 100 women is no different than 2 men, and the Mishnah told us that women are allowed to make a zimun, doesn't that lead us to believe that 2 men can form a zimun also? That's the Gemara's suggested proof. So the Gemara says, no. Shiny hasam di'ika deos. The Gemara says, you can't prove anything from the case of 100 women, because at the end of the day, 100 women are still 100 people. It's still different people. It's deos. In other words, there are different mindsets, different people in the room. You can never say that 2 men are like 100 men. It's never going to work. 2 men are never like 3 men. 100 women, you could say, okay, so maybe in terms of making a minyan, they don't count for technical reasons. But in terms of zimun, you could say that 100 women is very different than 2 men. But the Gemara says, okay, but ihachi, if that's true, the Gemara says, ema seifa, nashim ba'avadim, imratzu lezamin emezanin. But the question is, am I low? The ha'ika deo. So why can't women and avadim form a zimun together if they're going to be more than 3 people? So the Gemara says, no, that's just for a technical reason. Shiny hasam yishum pritzusa. The Gemara assumes that mixing women and avadim, it's not a good idea. It's going to lead to pritzus. But fundamentally, theoretically, they should have been able to make a zimun. And therefore, the Gemara says, you cannot prove that 2 people can make a zimun. Because at the end of the day, you still need at least 3 people there. So now the Gemara wants to know which opinion between Rav and Rav Yochanan were the one who suggested that 2 people is sufficient for a zimun. So the Gemara says, Tistayim, de Rav de Amar imratu lezamin emezamin. So we can suggest that Rav was the shita that held that 2 people cannot form a zimun. De Amar Avdimi bar Yosef Amar Rav, shlosha sha'achlu ka'achas v'yatza echon mehem lashuk. So 3 people reading together. One guy walks out to the marketplace. So they can call to him, and then he can be mezamin. He can join in the zimun. So the Gemara says, Taima de korinlo. Hello, korinlo lo. The only reason why they can still form a zimun is because they're calling to him, and he's answering, and he's participating in the zimun. Implying that if this guy just left, and left them with only 2 people, they cannot form a zimun. So that will lead us to believe that Rav is the one who says that 2 people is insufficient to make a zimun. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true. Shiny hasam de ikvu luhu bechova meyikar. The same answer the Gemara keeps on giving, because no, you can argue that these people wanted to make an obligatory zimun, but maybe one could argue that in a chanami, that a 2-person zimun, which is a rishus, is still a thing. In other words, you could still form a 2-person zimun even though it's not a chova.
So 2 people can bench with a zimun, okay, if they call out to somebody else, but the other person didn't have to actually eat.
So well, okay, 1 second. The Gemara is going to explain the details of that case in a second. We'll see. We'll see in 1 second. So the Gemara says, okay. So now let's try the opposite conclusion. Ela tistayim de Rab Yochanan huda amar imratzu lezamin emezamin. Maybe we can argue that Rab Yochanan was in fact the author of the statement that 2 people cannot be mezamin. De amar Rabba bar Barchana amar Rab Yochanan shnayim she'achlu ka'achas. If 2 people are eating together, 1 person can bench and be motzi the other person in benching. And we asked about that case. What's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan's statement? Tanina, that's an explicit mission. It's a mission in Sukkah that says, Shama velo ana yatsa. The mission in Sukkah says that if a person, let's say, hears a bracha but doesn't respond amen, b'di'eved, he's still yotze with that bracha. So and Rabbi Zera concludes from that statement. He says, you see that 2 people cannot have a birkas hazimun. In other words, you can have 1 person benching on behalf of the other person and fulfilling their obligation, but you cannot have a zimun between 2 people. So the Gemara says, Tistayim, you're right. That is the correct conclusion, namely that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said that 2 people cannot form a zimun at all, even as a rishus. Rav is obviously going to disagree with that. So the Gemara now says, well, hang on. Amr le Rava bar Rav Huna le Rav Huna v'harabbanan da'asu mima Rava amre imratu lezamin mezamin. But the rabbis who came from Eretz Yisrael said that 2 people are not allowed to form a zimun. My lav d'shmiel hume Rav Yochanan. Doesn't that mean to say that they heard this statement from Rabbi Yochanan because Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael? So if you're telling me that rabbis who came from Eretz Yisrael said that 2 people are allowed to lead the benching, are allowed to form a zimun, that would lead us to believe that Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that they can form a zimun, which contradicts what we just said a second ago about Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Lo, the Shmuel hume Rav, mikamei denachas lebavel. They heard it from Rav before Rav went back to Bavel. Okay. The Gemara says, Gufa. Amar Rav Dimi bar Yosef Amar Rav. Shlosha she'achlu ka'achas. Again, 3 people are eating together. V'yatza echad mehem lashuk, and one of them goes to the marketplace. Korin lo umezamna lo. You call to the third person, and he can participate in the zimun. So the Gemara explains, Amar Abaye v'hu dekaru leva ane. That's assuming that the third person is able to respond. In other words, if he's so far away, he's not within earshot anymore, he can't hear you anymore, then obviously he cannot participate in the zimun. Amar marzutra v'lo amran ela b'shlosha. That requirement that the third person needs to actually hear the zimun and respond to you is only for a three-person zimun. Avol ba'asara ad denaisi. But if you want to bench with Shem Hashem with 10 people, then the person needs to be physically present, needs to actually be there. You can't just call out to him in the marketplace. So the Gemara asks, Maskif for Rav Ashi, Adaraba, Ibcha Mistabra. Rav Ashi says, why don't we say the exact opposite? Namely, Tisha Nirin Kaasara. Shnayim Ein Nirin Kishlosha. It's kind of a very strange svara in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that that 9 people looks more like 10. 2 people doesn't look as much as 3, because the assumption is that once you have a lot of people in a room, so people are saying, like, who's really counting all the people? So if you have 9, you have 10, it's more or less the same. When you have 2 people in a room, you can tell very clearly that there's not 3 people there. So the Gemara says that one could argue the exact opposite, that maybe when it comes to making a zimun of 3, I need all 3 bodies here, because then it will be, readily apparent that I don't have 3 people if I don't have the third person here. Whereas when it comes to 9 versus 10, people are not counting so closely once you get to that number. So the Gemara says, Vehilchaso kemar zutra, that's how we paskin like Marzutra, that in other words, like the opposite svara, namely that in order to form a zimun of 3, you don't need the third guy to be there, you just call out to him, and if he responds to you, that's fine. Whereas by 10, you need the 10th guy to actually be there. My time, what's the reason for that? Kevan debay liad kurei shem shamayim, since you have to mention Shem Hashem in benching with 10 people, butzer me'asara lavo rachara, it's not appropriate to mention Shem Hashem with less than 10 physical people present in the room. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Nikitina, we have a tradition. Shnayim she'achlu ka'achas mitzvah leichalik. If 2 people are eating together, they have to split up. They have to bench on their own. Tanya nam yachi, shnayim she'achlu ka'achas mitzvah leichalik. Bamed dvarim amurim kishashnehem sofrim. That's if both people are intelligent, they're smart, they both know how to bench on their own. Aval echad sofer v'yachad bur, sofer mevarichu bur yotzi. If the other person there is an ignoramus and he doesn't know how to bench, then obviously the first person can bench and be motzi the other person. Amar Rava, Hamilsa Amrita Ana v'itamra mishmei derabbi Zera kivasi. He says, I said the following statement, and it turns out that I was correct, and I said it like Rabbi Zera. Shlosha she'achlu ka'achas, echad mafsik l'shnayim, v'ein shnayim mafsikin l'echad. If you have 3 people eating together, if 2 of the people decide that that they want to bench and they want to because they have to go somewhere, then the third person, even if he's not done eating, has to bench or has to respond to the zimun. But if it's the other way around, if it's only 1 guy who wants to bench and the other 2 are still eating, they are not obligated to make a zimun to stop what they're doing. So the Gemara says, well, hang on, Rav Papa, if ziklela abba mar berei ihu v'chad, but Rav Papa stopped. In other words, Rav Papa stopped. It was him and one other person who stopped eating and benched in order for Abba Mar to go and to go bench. The Gemara says, no, Shani Rav Papa, the Lifnim Yishur Esadin Huda Avad. Rav Papa went beyond the letter of the law, meaning you're not obligated to do that. You could if you want to, if there are 2 people who are still eating, if they want to respond to Azim, they can, but they're not obligated to do so unless you are the one and the other 2 people want to bench. Yeah.
So I know that most people don't do this, but there's some people that go ahead, they only have 9 people in a shul davening, and they include like the Sefer Torah.
You're talking about making a minion in the first place?
Making a minion. So,
that's questionable.
That's questionable.
It's very questionable. There are poskim who talk about that. You're saying to say Shem Hashem.
Yeah, right. You're in a shul. You have 9. You can include
the Gemara actually later in the paragraph. The Gemara later in the paragraph is actually going to discuss that. That case actually might be more might be a little bit easier to get away with than a case of making a minion with a 10-year-old. But we'll see in the Gemara later on is going to discuss that. That maybe potentially even a baby could potentially count as a 10th. We'll see that in the Gemara later. Okay, so the Gemara now continues. The Gemara says, Yehuda bar Marimar umar bar Ravashi v'ravacha midifti karche rifte bahadei adar. They were all eating bread together. But the Gemara says, lo hava b'hu chad hava muflog mechavri l'varuch elu. In other words, none of the 3 were any greater than anybody else to warrant or to justify them being the ones to lead the benching. So what happened? Yasvi v'kami boilu. So they raised the following question. Hadisnan shlosha sha'achlu ka'achas chayovin lezamein. That which the Mishnah said, that when three people eat together, you have to make a zimun. Hani mile hecha di'ika adam gadol. That's if one of the people is clearly greater than the other two, so it's justified to say that that person should lead the benching. Aval hecha d'chi adadinenu chiluk brachos adiv. But if none of them are greater than anyone else, so maybe you can argue that it's actually better that everyone benched on their own. So what happened? So the Gemara says that's exactly what they did. Baruch and Ishladavshi, they each benched on their own. So the Gemara says, Asu l'kamei demereimar, Amar l'husa mereimar said to them, Yidei bracha yitzasem, Yidei zimun lo yitzasem. You were yotze benching, but you weren't yotze your obligation of reciting the zimun. V'chi temru ni hadar v'nizamein. Maybe you'll tell me, okay, just go back and say the zimun now that you've finished benching. No, you can't do that either. Because ein zimun l'mafreya, we have a principle, which the Gemara also later on discusses, you can't do a zimun after you finish benching, where the zimun has to precede the benching. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Bo mitzan kishahin mevarchim mahu omer acharin." Let's say you walk in as someone is about to start doing the zimun. What should you respond to them? So Rav Zvid Amar baruchu mevorach. Rav Papa Amar one amin. The Gemara explains, "V'lo pligi," but there's no machlokas here. Hada ashkechinu deka amri nevarich. V'hada ashkechinu deka amri baruch. It depends what the person's saying. Ashkechinu deka amri nevarich. If you found that the guy is saying nevarich, then you say omer baruchu mevorach. But ashkechinu deka amri baruch, then one amin. So the Gemara says, Tanicha, the one Braisa says, Ha'ona amen achar berchosav hareza meshubach, v'sani yidach hareza maguna. We have a contradiction between two Braisos. Is it a positive thing to respond, amen, to these brachos, or not? So the Gemara says, Lo kashya, ha bivonei Yerushalayim, ha bishar brachos. We know, of course, that the bracha of bonei Yerushalayim actually ends off with the word amen. The reason why that is because bonei Yerushalayim is the last of the brachos nida oraisa in benching. I told Amitiv, as we'll talk about later in the parak, is only nida rabbanan. So the amen is supposed to act as like a form of demarcation between the oraisa brachos and the Durabbanan bracha. So it's praiseworthy to respond amen to that bracha because it actually ends with amen, but if you respond amen to a different bracha of benching, to, in other words, to your own bracha of benching, that would be a problem. Amen for Bonei Yerushalayim is built into the bracha, so you're supposed to say it at the end.
Who is this? Yeah. The person reciting
the person bracha. Reciting the bracha to say amen, because usually we say that you're not supposed to recite amen to your own bracha, but Bonei Yerushalayim is the exception because it's built into the bracha itself, right? In other words, you're supposed to answer.
Baruch Shema, you're also supposed to recite your own.
Say amen at the end? Really? I've never heard of the Baruch Shamar. Okay, never mind. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Abaye anele bekala, ki hechi delishmu upoalim velikumu dahatova hametiv la'avda oresa. So Abaye would purposely say the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim out loud and say amen out loud so the workers would know that they can go back to work. This is based on the Gemara back in the second parak, where the Gemara said that since the part of Hatova Hametiv is only the Rabbanan, so if you have people who are working or being hired by someone, so we basically cut that bracha out because they have to get back to work. So Abaye would specifically say it out loud so the workers would be alerted to the fact that that the benching for them was over. Whereas Rav Ashi, anile belechisha, kehichi delonazal zlu b'hatov hametiv. Whereas Rav Ashi did the exact opposite. Rav Ashi would dafka say it quietly so people would not be mezalzel in the bracha of hatov hametiv. Okay, should we try to go to the two dots? I'm still kind of early. Okay, so fine, let's go on. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Zera chalash. Rabbi Zera one time fell ill. Ole gabe Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Avo went to visit him. Kabil ale. So Rabbi Avo accepted on himself and he said the following. Im mitfach ktina charech shake. This was the nickname they used to give to Rabbi Zera. They used to call him the short guy with legs that were burned. That was the nickname they gave him. It's based on a story in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, where one time he ran into an oven because he was trying to avoid being seen by someone that he was trying to help out by giving tzedakah to, and it turned out that some of his limbs got singed because of that. So they used to call him the short guy with shorty fire legs, a short guy with singed legs. So he said, if this guy, if Rabbi Zera gets healed, avinna yomat. And I'm gonna throw a party for the rabbis. Which is what happened. Itfak, he actually got healed. So he threw a party for the rabbis. Kimata lemishrei, when it came time to break bread, Amar leila Rabbi Zera lishrei lanmar. They said to Rabbi Zera, why don't you break the bread for us? Amar leino lo savar lanmar lo hadi Rabbi Yochanan d'amar bala ba'is botzeya. Don't you hold of Rabbi Yochanan? He says that the bala ba'is should be the one to break the bread. Okay, so then the Gemara says shoralu fine. So the bala ba'is, so in other words, Rabbi Avo was the one who broke the bread. Kimata levaruche Amar lein nivrech lanmar. Then when it came time for benching, they said they once again turned to Rabbi Zera and said, why don't you lead us in benching? Amar Leino, he said, Lo Savar Lamar Laha to Rav Huna de Min Bavel to Amar Botzea Mevarich. Don't you hold the statement of Rav Huna that the guy who broke the bread should also lead the benching? So the question is, Gemara asks, V'ihu Kaman Tzvirli, what was Rabbi Avo thinking? Why didn't Rabbi Avo know this? Gemara says, no, Ki Ha Da Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shum Ben Yochai, Bal Habayis Botzea V'Oreach Mevarich. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he disagrees. He says, yes, it's true that the Bal Habayis should break the bread, but the guest should be the one to lead the benching. What's the difference? Bal Habayis Botzea Kadesh Yitzabayan Yafe. If you're the host, so then you're more likely to give out, more generous portions of food to the people there. share. Whereas if you're a guest, you know, it's not your food to, you know, to give, you know, it's not your food to give away. However, v'orech mevarich kedei sheyivarech balabayis. On the other hand, the guest should lead the benching so that he will bless the balabayis. And mayim mevarich, what bracha should he say? He rotzon shelo yivosh balabayis ba'olam hazeh v'lo yikalim li'olam haba. Right, the bracha being that the balabayis should not be ashamed in this world or the next. And the Gemara says, v'rebi mosif badvarim. Rebbe would add on, v'yitzlach ma'od b'chol nechasev. He should be successful in all of his, you know, in all of his endeavors. V'yu nechasev v'nechasenu mutzlachim u'krovim la'ir. And all of his possessions should be readily available. V'al yishlot satan lo b'maaseh yado v'lo b'maaseh yadenu. And the satan shouldn't have anything to do with his possessions or our possessions. V'al yizdakir lo l'fanav v'lo l'faneinu shum dvar hir huchir v'avirav yavon me'atav yad olam. And basically, he shouldn't be, you know, affected by any avir. So we actually say this in benching today. If you're a guest at someone's house, even if you're going back to your parents' house, actually, the halacha is that you're supposed to say this. If you're eating at someone's table that's not your own house, and you're leading the benching, you're supposed to say this. It's actually printed in most standard benching. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch on the Taz, that you're supposed to say this paragraph, which a lot of people don't say, but you're actually I think it's in most new, I think it's in more newer benching. It's slightly different. There's like one or two words that are different, but it's pretty much